I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, and chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you, and you have kept him for this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." May God add his blessings to this reading.
Thank you, Jean. Oh my, you know, when you read the Old Testament, so often there are could be 10 to 15, maybe even more lessons in any one text. And this is certainly one of them. I want you to think about Solomon and what he's asking for. In the beginning, Solomon is a man seeking to do good for his people. He wants nothing more than to be a good leader by making good decisions, wise decisions. From this point, however, Solomon becomes a very complex person. And if you read the rest of this book, you will see just how complex. I believe Solomon is so much like many of us in that regard. Many of us start out early in life wanting to be good, to do good, to serve God faithfully. But so often as time passes, things in our lives happen, and all these noble ideas begin to go away, get forgotten. Listen to these words of Solomon. "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people." Very important. Your people, he does not see them as his, "able to discern between good and evil." Do you have that ability? Do we have the ability to discern between good and evil in all situations? That's very touching. It's very altruistic. Solomon is saying he wants to serve rather than be served. Again, I'll ask, who of us here want to serve rather than be served? You ever met someone who likes being served? "Oh, I don't feel, you know, I really think you ought to be here taking care. You ought to think about me. What about me? What about me? What about me? There are people in our world like that. But Solomon is saying, I'm yours, Lord. Use me. I'm going to tell you a little story, and I kind of wish John Beeson was here to hear this, since he at one time worked for NASA. But this story, and when I read this and when I experienced it in terms of hearing it on the news, it's beyond my comprehension because I'm not a scientist, although Jim will probably understand this. In 1972, NASA launched the exploratory space probe Pioneer 10. According to Leon Giroff of Time magazine, the satellite's primary mission was to reach Jupiter, photograph the planet and its moons, and beam data to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field, radiation belts, and atmosphere. That was its mission, 1972. Scientists regarded this as a bold plan, for at the time, no satellite had ever gone beyond Mars, and they feared the asteroid belt would destroy the satellite before it could reach its target. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and much, much more, swinging past the giant planet in November 1973, Jupiter's immense gravity hurled Pioneer 10 at a higher rate of speed toward the edge of the solar system. At 1 billion miles from the sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn. At some 2 billion miles, it hurtled past Uranus, Neptune at nearly 3 billion miles, Pluto at almost 4 billion miles. By 1997, 25 years after it was launched, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. And despite that immense distance, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back radio signals to scientists on Earth. Perhaps most remarkable, wrote Giroff, those signals emanate from an 8-watt transmitter, which radiates about as much power as a bedroom nightlight and takes more than 9 hours to reach Earth. It's the little satellite that could. It's what they started calling it. It was not qualified to do what it did. Engineers designed Pioneer 10 with a useful life of 3 years. Just 3 years. But it kept going and going. By simple longevity, its tiny 8-watt transmitter radio accomplished more than anyone thought possible. Now, let's go back to Solomon. Because here is the wisdom of Solomon. So it is when we offer ourselves to serve the Lord, God can work even through someone with 8 watts of power. If all you have is 8 watts of ability, God can work through you. You may say, I don't have much. I can't do a lot. God says you can. You know why? Because I'm here. You can do more than you ever dreamed. Solomon knew he was young. You heard Gene Reed. He just thought he was a child. But he was wise enough to know that God can use anyone for his purposes. Regardless of age, regardless of education, regardless of anything, God can use people. One of the great things in my life that I've done is when I was counseling people in nursing homes. And I would get the call to come in whenever they brought in someone new because, of course, as you might imagine, when people go into a nursing home, one of the first things is adjustment disorder. I mean, you're used to being in your home and having a life of your own. That's not the case anymore. You're used to being independent, having a car. That's not the case anymore. So adjustment disorder, anxiety, depression hits as soon as they go in some form or fashion. So I would go in and I would talk to these folks and do counseling sessions with them 2-3 times a week, depending on their need. And all the time, what I heard is, My life is over. I'm in a nursing home. I'm no good to anyone anymore. I heard that. And I said, that is not true. God can use you right where you are. These people wouldn't leave the room to go play bingo, which is a big thing in the nursing homes, or go to exercise class where they'd be kicking and throwing a beach ball to each other in a big circle. They would become hermits. And I said, here's what you do. You go out there and you play bingo and you put a smile on your face and you help others who are depressed and have anxiety and having trouble getting used to the nursing home. You can do that. God can use you for that. You go to that exercise class and you show everybody what you can do and encourage them to do the same. I wasn't 100% successful, but I would give myself probably an 85 to 90% success rate. And these folks would go and they would get out there. And when I'd come back to see them, they'd say, man, that was fun. I got to teach so-and-so. I got to talk to so-and-so and encourage them. I feel good about myself. I feel good about my life because God's using me with only 8 watts of ability. God can still use you. That's pretty good. How often have you got to a point where you just thought, I'm no good to anyone anymore? But God says you're always good, and I can use you. Another subject that jumps out when we read this passage is the fact Solomon wants to provide good leadership for God's people. Well, who doesn't? Wouldn't you like to give good leadership to God's people? Is there any other kind of leadership that you would want to give? Perhaps some of us see leadership and wisdom as one and the same, but they're two completely different things. We've seen that in our own country and in other countries. There are people who are leaders and they don't have any wisdom at all. And there are people that have wisdom, but they don't have the leadership skills to lead people and show them what they know and share what they know and teach them. We see that all the time. They are two completely different things. One may be a leader without a drop of wisdom, or be one with a great deal of wisdom, but no way to convey the wisdom. Throughout history, there have been heads of state that have demonstrated the two do not go hand in hand, and Solomon knew it, and Solomon said, I want to be a good leader with wisdom. A reporter asked Andrew Carnegie about how he became wealthy. And you know, this is an interesting thing, and I always think about this when I think of Andrew Carnegie. He came to America from his native Scotland when he was a small boy, and he did a variety of jobs before he ever got to the point that he did, which was being the owner of the largest steel manufacturer in the United States. At one time, he had 43 millionaires working for him. 43 millionaires working for him. Now, think about this. $1 million in his day would be equivalent to over $20 million today. A reporter asked Carnegie how he hired 43 millionaires. And Carnegie responded, those men had not been millionaires when he hired them, but had become millionaires as a result. The reporter's next question was, how did you develop these men to become so valuable to you that you have paid them this much money? Carnegie replied, and I believe this is God's message to us too. People are developed the same way gold is mined. When gold is mined, several tons of dirt must be moved to get an ounce of gold. But one doesn't go into the mine looking for dirt. One goes in looking for gold. Do you look for the gold in people? Or is all you see their dirt? In verses 7 and 8, we hear Solomon's understanding of his role as leader. So numerous they cannot be numbered or counted, and I, who is only a child, must lead them. Clarity of thought for a child. No one knows Solomon's age when he became king. There's only guesses. The guesses range from he became king at the age of 12 through the age of 20. Most, the majority, say somewhere around 15. Can you imagine being a king at 15? Being able to discern who's full of dirt and how to get rid of that to get to that gold in them. That's what Solomon's asking. He says, how do I look for the good in people? How do I find those who can work for me and do the things for me that I need done? And God says, through wisdom. Through wisdom, you can do that. You may only be a child, but you can do that. And therefore, as did Carnegie, that's exactly the way Solomon began to view his people. He didn't look for their flaws, their warts, and blemishes. He looked for the gold, not for the dirt, the good, not the bad. Solomon became a king who looked for the positive aspects of life. So the question becomes, are we people who look for the positive aspects? Because, folks, I can tell you that Jesus taught the same thing. Did he not? Look for the positive aspects in people. The woman at the well, Lord, don't talk to her. You don't talk to women. That's what the disciples said. Jesus said, sure you do. We all have gold in us because God put it there. Well, Lord, you're talking to a Samaritan. We hate Samaritans. No. Disciples, even Samaritans have gold. Even a Samaritan, who were the biggest hated group of the Jews, but not by Jesus. Jesus knew what to look for. Because his God-given wisdom told him, like everything else, the more he looked for good qualities in his people, the more good qualities he was going to find. If you look for it, you find it. How many of us look for flaws in people rather than the good? If you pass a group of people and they're saying, we don't really like him or we don't like her, and they're talking about the flaws, how does that make you feel? Do you wonder what they say when you walk off? But what if you walk by a group of people and they say they go to Central Christian Church and they're talking about, oh, you know, so-and-so is really wonderful, they got a gift. I love the way they can play the piano, play the organ, or sing. How they get in there and help when we have fellowship dinners. How they come in and they help with the church and fix things in the church. People who speak in positive ways are around positive people. And it makes us, when we hear them, have positive thoughts about them. That's a pretty good thing. Even in our own families, oftentimes parents look for the bad in their children. Why? Oh, there's Johnny. He's just one of the worst kids ever. My son can't do anything right. My daughter, I don't even know. I mean, you hear people talk about their children like that? Are these parents who are looking for the good, who are finding the gold? We only need the wisdom to mine it out and bring it into light. Find the good. This passage screams that to us. Let us not take this story of Solomon to mean God is miraculously going to give us wisdom and leadership skills. Or even provide us with riches. But what this passage does tell us, what it teaches us, is in your prayers, make your request of God to be equipped for the role you take on or find yourself in. Pray to God. I'm the boss at my job, God. Would you please give me the wisdom and the leadership skills? Pray for those things. It teaches us that right here. If our goal is not about ourselves, but about servanthood and leadership of our families, co-workers, or Wherever we find ourselves wanting to serve and or lead, then God will provide. But we got to be intentional when we pray. God is all about community. God is all about His people, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. You remember what Jesus said when He saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and He became so upset. And He said, "You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup so the outside might also become clean." Clean what's in here first. If the story of the Good Samaritan isn't sufficient to illustrate the importance of community, I don't know what is. You remember all the people that just walked by the guy laying on the side of the road? The Samaritan, the one I told you is the most hated of the Jews at the time, stopped and he helped. Jesus knew that would set all of them on their ear. Hey, oh my gosh, a Samaritan? I can't believe you even mentioned a Samaritan in your story. And he said, because there's gold. You got to look for it. The Samaritan stopped and helped. The priest didn't. Others didn't, but the Samaritan did. Jesus speaks of community, and He says, walk the walk. Solomon says to God, "I'm praying for leadership skills. I am praying for wisdom because I don't want to just talk the talk. I want to walk the walk. And if I'm going to tell my people something, I want to be able to do it myself. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside look beautiful, but inside they are full of bones of the dead and of all kinds of filth. So you also, on the outside, look righteous to others, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Solomon didn't want any part of that. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be a king and say, "I'm the king." But everything inside of me screams that I'm just not a good person at all. All I do is tell you to do things and I don't even know how to do it myself. I think another way is we're talking about, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. And Solomon says the same thing to God. It's not enough to say I'm king. You got to have leadership skills. You got to have those. And you got to have wisdom. So God says to Solomon, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself. You have not asked anything for yourself. Really important note here. Like long life or riches or for the life of your enemies. Lord, kill all my enemies. Didn't do that. But have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. I now do according to your word. Because you want to serve my people and not abuse them like Saul did and others. Because you want to serve, I'm going to answer your prayer. Do you want to serve? And if you do, do you ask God for wisdom and for leadership skills? Is that your prayer? If I'm a leader in the church, please give me some wisdom. Give me the leadership skills. We can all learn from this request of Solomon's, and I pray that we do. And I pray that we also balance it against what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. Because they go hand in hand. If you talk the talk, walk the walk. There's no getting around that. God wants to use you. And in this case, that's a good thing. People always want to use us. But God has a different idea. And His way of using us is to provide us with all the things necessary to be a leader. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before you, all too often we do look at ourselves and wonder what we can do for ourselves. But Lord, if you will change our hearts and point us toward those that you want us to serve, and give us what it takes to serve others as your Son served us and others, then we will be the happiest people on earth. Use us. Fill us with your Spirit. Make us clean on the inside and the out, so that people know when we say we are Christians, that we are followers of your Son, they know we are by our words and by our actions. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.